Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance Sunbury. Find them online at purdyinsurance.com. A couple of games going on in the Little League World Series this afternoon. Bottom of the third has the Midwest all over Europe by a score of 17 to nothing. That's the Nebraska team going up against the Ramstein Air Base Germany team. Again, that's bottom of the third at Lomedy, 17 to nothing the score there. The Caribbean from Curacao, they lead 1 to nothing over that Vancouver British Columbia team from Canada. That's bottom of the second again at Volunteer Stadium, 1 to nothing. Later on, at a busy day of Little League World Series baseball, it'll be New Jersey going up against Petaluma, California. Both teams have lost a game. California losing yesterday in a sixth-inning rally by the team from Tennessee in an outstanding game, as a matter of fact. West has some of the best pitching, I think, in the U.S. bracket. But we'll see if they're able to come back from that one loss here in the double elimination tournament. The nightcap at Volunteer Stadium tonight will be the Chinese Taipei team taking on Mexico. That should be a pair of two good teams going out at Volunteer Stadium at 6, both of which I believe are at one loss apiece now after last night's loss to Japan. Japan has the day off in the nightcap at Lomedy Stadium, the one that will be on television, no doubt. Newcastle, Indiana, taking on the team from Fairfield, Connecticut. That's the schedule for tonight at Lomedy Stadium. The standings in the Little League World Series, Japan has a 2-0 record right now. Latin America also in 2-0 right now in the International League. With one loss, Caribbean, Asia-Pacific, Canada, and Mexico. And already out is the Middle East, Africa, and European teams. Now, the United States looks this way. The Southwest, Southeast, both with two wins so far. Great Lakes, Mid-Atlantic, West, and New England all trying to race their way back in. And then you have the Midwest and Northwest with two losses so far. So that catches you up on the Little League World Series and the schedule of games for this afternoon and going on throughout the week. And, of course, you can find all that at littleleague.org. A lot of people I know went up yesterday for the games. Looks like Northwest tomorrow will be taking on, I think it's Middle East Africa. That will be a game at Lomedy Stadium at 1 o'clock. And then looks like Latin America, Japan on Wednesday. Southeast and Southwest will be the nightcap at Lomedy Stadium. Those are the games that are determined at this point. But if you're looking ahead toward the weekend a little bit, none of the games have been scheduled as of yet, obviously because of, you know, the situation with championships and so forth, or with teams matching up in the championships. But that gives you a little bit of an idea of what's going on at the Little League World Series. Lots of home runs. As of before last night's game, by the mid-game, the 5 o'clock game that ended right around 5 o'clock, there were 13 home runs in the U.S. bracket, 13 home runs in the international bracket. And of course, that always brings up the topic, do the fences need to be moved at Little League once again? A couple of those shots went back into the hedgerow, and that is one heck of a shot. I mean, I think that's 250, I believe. I'll have to think back at that. I'm not sure of the dimensions to the hedgerow back there, but a couple of nice grabs by people in the stands, too, in the hedgerow on the morning side of the hill. So weather being rainy right now, a couple of those games in a rain delay. Last night, NFL football, the Sunday night game, the Steelers and the Colts. What did you think of Luck? I thought he really reacted very, very positively after throwing the interception, the pick six, early in the ball game. I thought he really made some really good decisions, made some sharp throws with decent coverage by the Steelers secondary. He made some pinpoint throws even after they had, even after he had made that or had given up that interception. And the second interception, that was not his fault. Listen, if it hits you in the hands, you've got to make the catch. And you can't take the ball, try and tuck it away, and have it fly straight up into the air. You just can't do that. That's a player that, well, may not make the next cut after a play like that. Friday, Jake Locker had a shot to lock down the Tennessee Titans quarterback job. Didn't really get the job done against the Bucs, so I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. But actually, he may now they're kind of leaning back to the fact that he may actually be the starter anyway, but he didn't really, as I said, I guess the one report was more or less stunk it up against the Buccaneers. And Mike Munchak later said the performance didn't hurt Locker's chances of winning the job to begin the season. Now, the Titans have reportedly decided they're going with Locker anyway. So on Friday night, you didn't have a great job, didn't do a great job, but yeah, you still may get a chance to start anyway. What does that say about the number two and three guy in that NFL depth chart for the Tennessee Titans? StevJonesShow.com has a lot of stuff going on. A couple of posts there that we'll talk about in a few. One of which is an opportunity at StevJonesShow.com to Did you get a chance to watch any of the Little League World Series games this weekend?
Did I get a chance?
Not in person, but maybe on the television.
No, I did not.
Great game last night. 9 innings
between China's Taipei. I was broadcasting a game last night, so I couldn't
right,
see it.
Right. You were with the crosscutters and the spikes.
Exactly.
But heck of a game last night. 9 innings. 2-run homer was the difference in the ball game.
Right.
I just did some quick numbers. Let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. 22 players are batting .500 or higher in the Little League World Series with at least 4 at-bats.
Right.
That's some serious hitting.
Right.
That's some serious hitting.
Absolutely.
Early in the tournament. And we were just talking a few moments ago with 13 home runs going into the nightcap last night for both the international and U.S. brackets. That always brings up the question, should the fences get moved back? Because right now the hedgerow, to me, is going to be the back of the fence the way these kids are hitting the ball.
Right.
I mean, the fence, I wanted to say that the hedgerow is about 250, although I'm not 100% sure the dimensions are exact.
Right.
But that's still a pretty good poke for a 12-year-old.
Well, look, I think they've moved them back far enough. I think that it is, I think they have it the right length right now.
Listen, I don't mind seeing 12-year-olds hitting home runs. I'm fine with that.
No.
I do not have a problem with that.
Right. Neither do I.
Now, that always brings up the question, too, are we looking at the end of the aluminum bat? And I will say this, especially at the senior division of Little League Baseball, which I can attest to a little bit more than Little League, with the changes to the aluminum bats and the weight differential, the -3 weight differential, it has made a huge difference in right. how the ball comes off the bat. Even down at the Little League level, these kids are really putting some muscle behind those. It's not just stick the bat out and watch it ping off into the outfield anymore. Little League has really tightened the bats up a lot with the BB cores and so forth, and that kind of took care of a lot of the just stick the bat out and bloop single it.
Right. Yeah, there's no question that it has. I mean, I think that it's made a difference. But look, I saw something last night that I want to talk about when it comes to the Little League.
Sure.
That I think is one of the things that makes the tournament special and goes beyond boundaries. All right. And It is the Ugandan Little League team. The Ugandan Little League team was at historic Bowman Field last night. Now, they're done in the tournament. They were beaten by Mexico and Panama, and I believe Panama is still undefeated. They were beaten by Mexico and Panama, thus they're done. They were asked to throw out the first pitch last night. And I think it was Thomas Anderson threw out the first pitch last night. They practiced at the same time as the Fairfield, Connecticut Little League team. And the Fairfield kids got a real kick out of them, and they all took pictures. They then played the Mexico Little League team. And it was over, all the Mexico Little Leaguers wanted pictures with the Ugandan Little Leaguers. It's the first team from Africa to ever make it to the Little League World Series.
That's correct.
Last night, they go to historic Bowman Field. They're asked to throw out the first pitch. First of all, they had a picnic. There's a picnic ground area, which, by the way, is across the street from the original Little League field. The original Little League field is right across the street. So they had a picnic, first of all. And then they went from there into the ballpark. And they were cheered by everybody there. Standing ovation. They go out to the mound. Thomas Anderson takes the ball. Instead of going 46 feet like he would for Little League, he goes back to the top of the hill, threw a strike. Everybody loved it. Another big ovation, standing ovation. They then sat down in front of me as a team.
This was out at Bowman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Historic Bowman Field.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. I've said that 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, I know.
And so they go out and do this. Then they have one of the between inning games. And one of the ones they do at Bowman Field is they have inflatable horses, and you get on the horse and you ride it. So three of the members of the team go out there, right? They get dressed up in shirts and those big foam cowboy hats. And they are giggling and carrying on, and they're loving it. And all of a sudden, you know, the race starts, and then one of them wins, the middle horse won. And they laugh when they fall off those things. They were getting a big kick, and the crowd's eating it up and loving it. They're walking back to their seats, and people are applauding as they go by. Now let's think back more than 30 years of what our country's impression of Uganda is. Our country's impression of Uganda is quite simple. Raid on Entebbe, where the Israelis went in and were able to get their people out that were held hostage and captive, and also Idi Amin. And now here are the dozen 12-year-olds that come over here representing Africa for the first time, a dozen 12-year-olds. And our impression today of Uganda through the eyes of a dozen 12-year-olds has dramatically changed. That gives you hope of what future generations can bring to the table, because they put a smile on everybody's face that saw them or talked to them. And in Lugazi, Uganda, the major sport, of course, is soccer. Well, these young people have gone against the norm, and they went to baseball. And every single person that has run into them has given an incredibly positive impression of the country of Uganda, completely changed the impression of what anybody thought Uganda was or could be. And conversely, the way they have been treated here by the people here in this country has given them an impression where they're going to go back and they're going to tell everybody, wow, you know what? America's really neat. Those people are so nice. Because everywhere they've gone, they treated people nice, and conversely, they were treated great. And what they have done is something no diplomat can do. It's something no government can do. It can only happen when you actually meet people face to face. And what they have done for their country and what our country did in terms of our response as hosts for them are things that have made both sides feel much, much better. And that's what I witnessed last night at the historic Bowman Field. Far more than a game. I saw 12-year-olds acting like 12-year-olds and making everyone around them feel better for having them there. And conversely, everyone was so thrilled to have them there that they made those 12 people feel like they were more special than anybody on the face of the earth. And when they go home to Lagazi, they're going to tell everybody, not only is America great, boy, the people there are so nice. That's the biggest story out of the Little League World Series this year, regardless of outcome. Time to take a break. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Don't forget about Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, anytime you want to dial in and talk to us, we're right here at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Another day without Mike Wallace. Another day without sunshine.
You know what? It didn't look like they really missed him that much on Sunday night.
Yeah, remember, the Colts have a 4-24 record in their last 28 games in the preseason. They don't usually care too much, so I wouldn't get too excited by what you watched. Ike Taylor ran back a pick for a touchdown, so...
Well, I wouldn't get
too juiced. No, they didn't look that good.
No, I'm not. I said they didn't miss it much. I didn't say that I was thrilled with the way the game went.
They won on a field goal that was partially blocked.
I know. That was pretty sad.
Look, the big reason to get Mike Wallace in there to play is that he'll make Antonio Brown better. They also don't have enough of a running game, to be frank with you.
Nope.
Moving forward, they're going to be a team that's going to be 67-33 pass run. I mean, and to do that, you have to have receivers. To do that, you have to have receivers. Simple as that. And
I was impressed, though, with the way Luck bounced back after that pick, though.
Well, no, I mean, that's something that tells you a lot about why they picked him. They picked him because he has that acumen. I mean, he is a guy that to be honest with you, forgets. And as a quarterback, you have to be able to forget. You have to sit there and say, forget that last play, learn from it, and go to the next one. And that's what he did. He brought them right back after the Ike Taylor interception and was able to drive them downfield, and then Donald Brown scored. You do have to be impressed by that.
And he threw some passes even after that pick that a lot of guys wouldn't throw because of, you know, having that pick in the back of your mind. I mean, he threw some passes that took a lot of touch, dropping it over the heads of linebackers and into the receiver's hands. I was very impressed in the, I think it was the next two or three drives, how good he looked.
Yeah. No question about it. I think they found themselves a winner. But again, I think Robert Griffin III will get more wins in his first couple of seasons. He just has better people around him.
Just what he's got around him. That's right.
I mean, you have better people around you, you're going to win more games, and that has a lot to do with it. You know, the Steelers don't have enough of a running game. They need to get Wallace in there eventually to balance off Antonio Brown, because they're going to be a 67-33 pass run team now, which is totally different from how the Steelers have played. They've been the one team in the NFL that over the years has gone heavy run, and probably been like almost a 60-40, 55-45 run-to-pass kind of team, because they've had the Harrises, the Blyers, the Fosters, the Porters, and now Mendenhall. But they don't have that anymore. They have Roethlisberger, and I thought it was interesting how the Steelers went no huddle last night, because the Steelers would not have gone no huddle in the past because they wanted to control the clock and control the ball and keep their defense off the field.
Now they just want to score more points.
Well, no, you have to go with what you have personnel-wise. And Roethlisberger is capable of doing it, because the last thing you want is an inexperienced team going 3-and-out and putting your defense back out there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. And we roll on at 1-800-795-9565. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. Looking forward to joining Kevin at the Edison tomorrow night. Should be a great event.
I'm looking forward to it.
And I'll be doing the show with you in studio tomorrow.
That's what I'm really looking forward to.
So I just have to get directions how to get there. Our number, 1-800-795-9565.
You want directions from me?
No.
Last time I gave you directions, you had to call and go, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right.
I know. That's why Bartlett's going to give me the directions.
Good safety tip.
We've been talking about the Little League World Series. Talked about the Ugandan team, seeing them last night. It says we're talking about the fact that State College was playing baseball last night at Williamsport. We have a question on email about why Pat Ludwig has not been promoted after all the great work he's done. And I can give you an answer to that. Number one, it's a numbers game. He's doing well enough in State College, and I think the teaching that he's getting, for example, from Justin Message has helped. He needs to get more on his fastball. He needs to get that fastball up over 86 consistently. He needs to get that fastball toward 89, 90. His curveball is outstanding. His curveball is outstanding, but he needs to ratchet up the fastball more. And that's one of the things that he will have to do. His control is very good. He's only walked three batters the entire season. Only three all year. And he will be interesting to watch as he moves up because he has a special mentality to it. He has been put into situations. And these are things you don't know. I mean, I asked Justin Message about this, the pitching coach. I said, why? What is it about Ludwig that it's allowed him to excel when you put him into a situation instead of starting an inning where all of a sudden he's out there and it's second and third and one out? And for whatever reason, and I've seen him do this three times already this season, where it's been either bases loaded, nobody out, second and third, one out. That's three different times I've seen him in those kind of situations, and he's battled out of it every time. And I've said to Justin Message, the pitching coach, what is it about him that you saw in him to put in that situation? He said, look, we didn't know. We put him in there and he did it. He says, I mean, because he had been a starting pitcher at Yale. Look, this guy, you're talking about a guy, I think he's a mechanical engineer, I think. I think that was his degree. He was telling me what he wanted to do with it. I asked him one day, what do you want to do with it? He wants, of course, help other people with it. I think it has to do with water engineering or something like that. And how getting pure water to poor people is something that he wants to do down the road. And his Yale degree allows him to do this. There you go. You have to be kidding me. Your son Daniel wants to do what?
Attorney.
Yeah. Your kid wants to be an attorney?
Yes. Wants to be an attorney.
Really?
Uh-huh. Likes to find loopholes, he says, in contracts.
Likes to find loopholes.
Yeah. Which is why he gets out of just about every punishment he's ever gotten into. Finds the loophole in the contract.
Really?
He's born to do it.
You're the parent. You can tell him that's irrelevant. Our number is 1-800-795-9565.
I don't want to discourage him.
No, I would. 1-800-795-9565. You got to let him know who's in charge.
I see. Yeah. By the way, you know, Ludwig.
Chemical engineering is was Ludwig's degree. Chemical engineering. And what he wants to do is he wants to work it in such a way where poor people get fresh water. I'm sitting there interviewing him, and I'm looking around the stands thinking, okay, how many other people here in this building have that aspiration?
Yeah, really. Really. I mean, here's a guy that's been in 25 innings and averages about a strikeout an inning.
Yeah, but, you know, he's doing it with his curveball's been great. He does not blow hitters away. See, that's the issue that he has right now. The issue that he has right now is he doesn't blow hitters away. His curveball is tremendous, and he has just enough of a fastball. But it's the curveball that he just needs better development on his fastball because the Pirates are a fastball-dominated organization. They want first-pitch fastball, and they want it to be located. And Pat's a really good curveball pitcher.
But isn't that what they want to work on at the next level a lot of times is adding pitches?
Yeah, well, usually adding pitches means a slider or a change.
True. Yeah, doesn't usually mean fastball. That's a good point.
Doesn't mean, you know, improving guys' fastball.
That's
and
true.
Yale, it worked fine. Look, he's pitched well. I am far from putting him down, but I know what the radar gun says. I see it. I see what the radar gun says. So I know he's got to pick that part up. He sure has been good, though. Gotta give him credit. He sure has been good. Our number one, and I hope that answers their question. That was on our email. Our number 1-800-795-9565 football team. Scrimmage Wednesday last week, scrimmage Saturday. McGloin had a really good scrimmage on Saturday. Really good. Allen Robinson has been very good. And we'll give you some idea now of some freshmen to watch for on this football team. Trevor Williams, a wide receiver. Put him on your watch list, number 10. 16, Geno Lewis. Okay? Another guy to take a long look at. 22, Akeel Lynch. Number 1, Jordan Lucas. Number 2, Jake Kiley. Number 3, Daquan Davis. And number 5, Nakeem Wartman. All freshmen you should put in that little circle. Like, they get in the game, they might be able to make something happen. Freshmen have been big contributors so far in the preseason, especially in the secondary, where they needed more depth. They needed more depth in the secondary. That's where the freshmen have come into play. Wartman's been running number 2 at middle linebacker, in part because Mike Yancic has been hurt. But Wartman's done a good job and is playing a little more instinctively instead of thinking so much. And that's a tendency for a freshman. Think so much, you lose your step. Stop thinking, you gain your step back. Wartman's starting to do that. Kylie's been playing safety. Lucas and Davis have been playing corner. And then Williams, Eugene Lewis, or we call him Geno, and Akeel Lynch on offense. Malik Golden's done pretty well, too. And then there's a big kid named Johnson that has done pretty well in the defensive front. So that's what the freshmen have done so far. Hodges has been Hodges. Motti has played very well, especially of late. Carson's been good. Jordan Hill. Daquan Jones has been outstanding. Deion Barnes is making an impression. Sean Stanley's been okay. Massaro hasn't done a lot. Let's see. What else? Donovan Zock. Zordich, of course, the fullback. Yeah, I've talked about everybody. Mike Hull's been really good. Mike Hull has been really good in this preseason. Done very, very well. So has Ben Klein. Ben Klein's been good. Mike Hull's been really good, though. James Terry, Kyle Boblitz. Kyle Boblitz is a backup defensive tackle, moved from end to tackle. Really, really has done well this preseason. Boblitz is one of those guys that's, 286 pounds, V-cut, body fat, 9%. It's disgusting. Our number 1-800-795-9565. So I hope in Cliff Notes I've been able to answer some questions there. But again, if you want to call in a question, talk about whatever, I will. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is our number.
I've got a question for Eagles fans. Are you upset what you found, what DeSean Jackson admitted to Lisa Salters recently from ESPN, that he kind of was protecting himself from getting hurt, so he wasn't giving it his all last year?
Geez, anybody surprised by that?
No, but I'd be a little upset. If I were an Eagles fan, I'd be a little ticked off.
Well, he played that way.
I mean, that tells me right there that he's not playing for the team, for the city, for the fans. He's playing for the paycheck.
Are you shocked by this?
No, I'm not shocked. I'm disheartened. I guess would be the best way to put it.
It just means that for me, he met expectations.
Well, that would be like you saying you don't really enjoy doing this show. You just kind of do it for the paper. If I were an Eagles fan and I were, you know, or somebody wearing his jersey yet, I'd really be ticked off.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. People listen to this show. They know I love doing this show.
I know that.
Okay? All right. But when I watch an Eagles game, I've never felt like I felt DeSean Jackson whenever I watched an Eagles game was in it for DeSean Jackson. All he did was confirm what I've thought.
That I've thought that comment. I mean, I give him credit for admitting it, but not much, quite honestly.
I don't give him any credit for anything.
Well, at least you admit it. You didn't try and, you know, give some line of bull about it, but it's just, that's disrespectful to your fan base, disrespectful to the city that's paying for you to be there, the fans that are paying for you to be there. Like, listen, if you want to be worth that kind of money, then be worth that kind of money and show it. You know, don't be afraid. Oh, I don't want to get hurt because I have to sign another deal next year.
He is who he is, okay? He is a selfish, self-absorbed athlete, and he plays like a selfish, self-absorbed athlete. Okay, that's how he plays. He's always played that. Okay?
No, I'm not saying he doesn't.
That's how he's always played. I mean, that touchdown he had against the Giants in overtime, where he ran across the goal line, you know, parallel to the goal line, then ran in. Okay? That's a selfish guy who's a great player, made a great play, but he's selfish. Yeah, of course he held back. I give him no credit. All right, Ken in Williamsport. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Welcome, Steve. Did you like Bowman Field?
I've always enjoyed Bowman Field. I've been going up there for 7 years, and I've always found it to be a fun, great venue. And, in fact, I was talking to Gabe last night, and I told Gabe, I said, you know, I love coming up here, and I really like their operation. Gabe and his group up there, a lot of really nice professionals that I think try to as hard as they can to put together a first-class product.
Yeah, they do a nice job promoting it. It's a nice place to go. Nice family atmosphere.
It is, very
really
much
is.
So.
Yes, anyhow, if you get a chance, really, go over and look at the Little League field where the Little League World Series is. I don't know if you've ever seen it in person yet.
I have. I've been to the fields, Ken, on a couple of different occasions for various things. I just have never actually seen a game there.
Well, that's okay. As long as you've seen the field itself, because people see it on TV, that, oh, yeah, it looks nice, da-di-da. But in person, it looks a lot different, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ken. It does. And I think what's really neat about the whole thing is that they treat it like it's a Little League game.
Yeah, correct.
You know, it's still free. You still pay $1 for a hot dog, 50 cents for chips, things like that. But I also think that as Lomity Stadium is a beautiful field. But I think they did a great job in Volunteer Stadium. I think that's really nice, the job they did over there.
They're both
and
nice.
And have them back-to-back like that. Yeah, they've done a nice job with that. And, again, for me, it's a scheduling issue.
Yeah, right. But I called to ask you a nosy question for me and my buddies and everybody else. I heard a comment. I don't know whether you can answer this or not, or maybe you're not allowed to. You don't want to. I don't know. But is there any way to find out who and how many people applied for the head coaching job at Penn State? And I don't know if it's not important. It's just us being nosy because we heard a comment we didn't really like about the, you know, after O'Brien was, you know, hired and everything. Now everybody's saying, well, you know, a lot of Penn State contacted a lot of, how do you want to say, big name coaches. And they says, no, we're not interested. But in reality, I think it's the other way around. I heard different people say Penn State told them, we're not interested in you. I don't know if you can elaborate on that or not?
Yeah, I'll elaborate on that because I talked to Dave Joyner about that when this process was going on. And there were certain people that they looked at, and they looked at seriously. And Bill O'Brien emerged as their number one guy in early to mid-December, where they really had targeted and said, you know what, we really think this guy could be the guy. There were a couple of other people that were very interested in, but they really looked at him. And Dave Joyner told me, he says, Steve, you'd be really surprised. He says, if I were to give you a list of names of people that have contacted us, but we really felt strongly about going in this direction. So it was actually, instead of Penn State contacting people and getting X'd out, that didn't happen. It was actually a lot of people contacting Penn State because they thought it was going to, it is a great job and wanted to get involved, but they decided they wanted to go in a certain direction with this thing. And one of the guys they looked at very quickly was Bill O'Brien, and it turned out he emerged right away as a guy that they wanted to really work with and come to a contract agreement with. So it was actually the other way around.
That's what we thought, and I did. You keep hearing all these comments now, you know, because after the fact, you know, but I think they made an excellent choice. Myself, you know, but you know,
they did make an excellent choice. I agree with you, Ken. I think that's. I think a lot of people feel that way. And it's without coaching a game yet, but the strongest part of what he does is not the public relations part, which he's been invaluable. It's been the coaching part. You know, I see him in the public relations part, and I'm really impressed. I see him coach, I'm even more impressed.
Well, that's all we, as myself, as a public, see is the public relation part.
Right.
And I'm sure, and he does an excellent job there, an excellent job. And the coaching remains to be seen, but, you know, you can only coach with what you have.
Yeah.
And I think this year will be, you won't see his expertise in coaching, but I think the next 2 years, 1, 2, 3 years down the road, you'll see where that comes into play. And I hope he does very well. I really do. So, okay, thanks for your answers.
Ken, you're welcome. Appreciate the question very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of the Kevin Herr Show with Steve Jones in tow on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Heading toward the top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And you can always go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin has to introduce me at this thing tomorrow night. Look, just say here he is and let's move on.
I can do that.
I mean, seriously, I don't like intros.
I don't.
It's
I don't
a waste
like doing
of time.
Them.
No, it's a waste of time.
All right.
I get up there and you're like, blah, 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 blah. You're sitting like, let's just go.
I'll make sure it's something along the lines of, here, Steve.
That's pretty much, you do that, that will make everybody in the room happy. It will be.
Wait. Are you insinuating that means the less I talk, the people are happy?
I believe that management and I are on the same page on that.
I'm sure.
Oh. Just kidding.
Right.
Hey, a week from Friday, you got a big one coming up. You got your opener coming up.
That's right. At the Silver Bowl in Mount Carmel.
They are anxiously awaiting you.
Actually, quite a few people like me there, so.
In Mount Carmel?
Yeah.
Well, no. That's
not necessarily in the stands, but that's a whole different situation.
Nah, it's a great. I did a game there about 30-something years ago. I did a game at Mount Carmel. Incredible experience. A lot of emotion there. And we'll come back. Second hour of the show. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You always go to purdyinsurance.com. Don't forget our number, 1-800-795-9565. Sarah and the news next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.